Okay, here we are again, doing something that I honestly thought I would never do again. I honestly didn't think I would ever attempt to do another podcast. So why am I doing this? Why am I doing another podcast? Why am I bringing back the Read or Die a Slave podcast, which I think last time lasted only 3 episodes? There's a lot of reasons. We don't need to get into all of them. The main one is I read a lot of books, and I honestly don't have anybody to talk to about them with. Did I say that sentence right? I don't really have anybody to talk about them with. There we go. Sometimes I get the words out of order. So as we go forward, I don't really know how this is going to develop. I'm not coming into this with some grand scheme of any sort. Going to let this develop organically. It's going to be rough at first. I'm going to try to discover what works for me, and we'll see what that becomes. So those of you who are already Substack subscribers, I'm going to lean on you guys for the encouragement to keep me motivated, to keep me coming back making these episodes. The reason I wanted to do an introduction is I wanted to make it clear things about me, things about the way I read, and things about the way that while I said I won't know specifically how this show is going to function, the way that I think is going to function, or the way that I'm imagining it's going to function, and some things I don't think it's going to be at all. And I think those are important to kind of lay out in front, not only for you, but for me, to remember I said those things. So, first of all, let's talk about my levels of reading books. Generally, for at least the last few years, there have been 3 levels for me. But recently, this has changed, and it's really consolidated down to 2 levels of reading. And I guess the best way you could describe these is shallow or casual reading, and then deep, intense reading. There used to be 3 levels, as I said, but I found often in the last few years myself not going to that second level, that sort of deeper reading level, and just jumping to the third one. So I've kind of just cut that one out. So the way that I do my more shallow reading, and I'm using air quotes around the word reading there, is because audiobooks. I think a lot of us do this. Audiobooks are great. You can do them in motion. I listen to them when I'm walking the dog and when I'm exercising. So for me, the purpose of the audiobook is just, hey, that's interesting. Let's see what it's all about. And I kind of call this scouting. I'm just scouting the territory. What's that book like? I don't generally take notes unless something hits me like a sledgehammer. Other than that, I just kind of passively consume them, much the way you would a podcast. I just kind of roll with it unless something big stands out. It's just, okay, that was a good book. I want to read that. It usually ends up one of 3 ways. I don't like that book. I don't want to read it again. Or other ways that I don't want to read it again. Like, I got all of it I need from it, from listening to it as an audiobook. You know, maybe it was a good story, but I never want to go into it again. So the first way it ends up is me not needing to go back to it or not wanting to go back to it. The other one was, yes, I would like to read that more deeply someday. There's no urgency to it. You know, someday I'll pick it up. Maybe if I see it when I'm in a bookstore, assuming those still exist in the future. And the third level is, wow, I need to buy a physical copy of this now, and I need to read it now. Which leads me to my second level of reading, which, just kind of going with the scouting metaphor, I call excavating. It's really deep reading. This is where I sit with a paper book and I have some index cards and pens and I make notes as I'm reading. And I read very slowly. I don't rush through it because I've already gone through it in the audiobook. There's no rush for me to run through it fast. Now I'm here to meticulously try to understand what's being said. The third level would have been ebooks, or is still. Now ebooks kind of serve this, if I really love a book, obviously at this point I would already have the audiobook, I would already have the paper book, I will buy the Kindle book. just in case something happens to my physical copy, I have a backup of it. But then also when I travel, if I were to travel, I'm not going to take a bag full of books with me. I'll take a Kindle. And then also sometimes, depending on the type of book, if I'm going to be going back to the book a lot and looking for details in it that I, let me see if I can put this differently. Some books are super dense with information. And if you were to take notes on all of the information in the book, you'd basically have something that's five times longer than the book. So generally in those cases, I take notes on the most important things. I try to get the gist of the most important ideas. But sometimes I need to go back to the details. And if I'm going to do that, that's where an ebook is really useful because of search. So I know that in, you know, chapter two, I got this idea and I got this idea. Where's that specific story that guy told about X, you know, this one thing? Well, I could search for that. Boom. Okay, there it is. And that's the use of an ebook. In addition, anything I highlight in the ebook is going to kick over to Readwise, which is searchable, so that helps me as well. So those are the three levels of reading, but as I said, they're really just two levels of reading. And something you should understand about my reading, the way that I read books or the type of books that I read for curiosity, not for ideology. What I mean by that is, I'm not making a judgment about how anybody reads. I'm stoked to hear that anybody reads nowadays, period. But a lot of people read to affirm their own identity. So they read books they agree with. They read books that reinforce their worldview. And that's a lot of readers. If you're a particular religion and you read books about your religion, if you're a particular political ideology, you read books of people who are of your particular political ideology. Same goes for cultural, all of these type of things. And we all do it. You know, we have our favorite authors. We see the world that we see, the way that we see it, because, oftentimes, because of our favorite authors and artists. But I read a little different than that. I do all of those things, but I also read things that I think I'm not going to like. I read things that people, from what I understand about the book, it might represent things that I hate or I disagree with. I read things that challenge my perspective. For example, like I have been recently, been on more of a ketogenic, low carbohydrate diet. During this process, I also bought a couple books that talk about how that diet is bullshit because I'm curious. I just want to know. I can't take other people's words for it on a book or an ideology. I need to see what that person said. And I need to understand it. And it, like I said, I'm not trying to reaffirm anything for me. I'm just really curious. I have that artistic mindset of like, everything is a palette. Everything is a color on a palette. And if I omit some things, all of a sudden I'm trying to paint and I'm like, well, I don't have any blue. Because I don't work with blue. Well, it's kind of hard to paint a sky. That's kind of how I see it. So I'm very curious about books. I will read books that are on subjects that I have no general interest in. Like I have a couple books about mathematics just because I want to understand, you know, what do people see in mathematics that I don't see? For me, it's always about that curiosity about the world and about other people. So because of that, the fact that I read a book is not an endorsement of the book or the person reading the book or any views in the book. It's just a fact that it was a book. I said, what's that about? I picked it up and I read it. That's all it means. And in case you didn't notice something I should say now, sometimes I curse. I honestly try to keep it to a minimum because especially talking about books, I would like to think that maybe a teenager or two will discover this podcast and maybe discover some cool books. So not that teenagers can't deal with cursing. God knows, I remember being a teenager. My mouth is clean compared to then. Going along with all that too, I don't stick to any particular genres. There are genres that I like, obviously, but I don't just read fantasy or just read nonfiction or just read fiction or just read mystery. I kind of read everything because, once again, it's about that curiosity. You will notice over time, if we stick with this long enough, if you guys hold my hands through this long enough, that there are topics that are important to me that reoccur over and over again. But you also notice that a lot of times I'll pick up a book and you wonder, why did you pick up that book? And sometimes, to be honest, sometimes I don't know. Maybe it was on sale. Who knows? I'm just curious. So going forward from that, how I'm seeing the format of the show. As I see it now, there will be two types of episodes. And this will relate to my two types of reading. When I finish listening to an audiobook, I'm not taking notes, as I said. This is a casual listening. I'm not going to be able to give an extensive episode based on that. So I imagine the audiobook episodes will be shorter. Maybe, I don't know, 15 minutes. If I can keep myself down to 15 minutes, I have a tendency to ramble sometimes. And then the deeper dives. Maybe something I should explain. I said earlier that I write on the index cards and I take notes. All I'm doing when I'm reading is noticing ideas that are important to me, that resonate. Typically, they resonate towards one of my important topics. There are about 50 topics. And all I do is I write down the page number and I write down a couple words to just kind of remind me that when I get to the end of the book and I go back and I go page 7, okay, what am I looking for on page 7? And I don't underline or circle or anything in the books. I don't write in the margins, not because I think paper books are sacred, but rather because every time I go back to that book, I want to go back to it from a blank slate. I don't want to pick up a book 10 years from now and be influenced by what I'm reading or have my attention directed to certain sentences by my past self. I want to come to it clean, because I believe every time you come back to a book, I'm a big fan of rereading books. I reread books all the time. And in all honesty, my intention is that about 90% of the books I read, I will reread again, at least once. So when I go back to them, I want to experience them as the person I am when I'm reading them, because every time it's different, and the book is different too. I read Don Quixote a couple years ago. It's considered one of the greatest books of all time. I didn't like it. I imagine in 10, 15 years, I'll reread it again and go, how did I not like this before? That's why it's important. If I picked up Don Quixote in 15 years and all the marks in the book were about how I hated the book, I might influence myself in that time. So what do I do with these notes on these index cards when I'm done? I have an app, we don't need to go into this, that I like. It's called Heptabase. It allows me to map things spatially. And why that's important is it allows me to take these ideas, put them into space on these cards, and then I start to group them. Okay, this stuff is related, this stuff is related. And then I can really start to understand the book in a different way. Like, oh, here, this is about this topic, this is about this topic. And I start to see the topics that stood out to me. And then within those groupings, I can start to order them, to make sense of them together and understand how they all connect to each other. And when I come into those second episodes, those deeper dives, as I'm calling them, what I'm hoping to do is be able to take what I'm seeing in these excavated notes, these notes that I've done in this app, and really explain what I got out of the book. And because of that, those episodes are going to be as long as they need to be. So, you know, I don't know what that means. I don't know what it's going to mean. We'll have to discover that. Tone of the show. First thing I want to get out of the way is, regarding the tone of the show, it's not a book review podcast. I don't want to review books. It doesn't mean I'm not going to say whether I liked a book or not, but my point is not... I feel like when a book review is done, what it's really doing is trying to tell you, here's everything that the book says. You know, it's almost like presenting a cliff note to you and then judging it based off of that kind of cliff note view. Instead, what I'm looking to do is read a book, have a reaction to it, share my reaction to it, especially in the, you know, the audiobooks, the casual ones. Those are going to be purely reactions. It's just going to be what stood out to me. Was there anything where I felt I had to grab my notebook and write something down? Did that stand out to me? What do I remember of it? Do I remember anything of it? Sometimes I might not. Sometimes I might read a book and go, you know what? Yeah, I listened to it. It didn't really stick. But in those cases, there's surely going to be something where I can say, but you know what? It reminded me of something else. So sometimes an episode might not even end up being about the book itself. That's something that I learned from, there's this wonderful book called Cultural Amnesia by a guy named Clive James, who is unfortunately not alive anymore. He was a very well-known literary critic, a cultural critic, actually. And each quote-unquote chapter in that book is it's supposed to be sort of an essay about a topic. They're about people. You know, for example, there's a chapter on Charlie Chaplin. He might start talking about Charlie Chaplin, but it leads him into something else. And then by the time you get to the end of that chapter, you're no longer talking about Charlie Chaplin. It's almost like it's a starting place. You know, sometimes, you know, the whole chapter is about the person, but that's kind of the way I'm looking at the way these shorter episodes will be. Sometimes they will be about the book. Sometimes they will be about where the book takes me in my mind. So in that way, it's different. That's why I say it's not distinctly a book review podcast. It's a podcast about books and where thinking about books takes my mind. And my whole goal really is I want to introduce people to books that I've read and let them, if they're curious about them, go check them out themselves. You know, was it LeVar Burton used to say on Reading Rainbow, don't take my word for it? Yeah. I was the age that show, of the main audience of that show, when it first went on the air. So I think that idea has always stuck with me. You know, don't take my word for it. Go pick up the book yourself. I might hate it. I might love it. You might feel the opposite. So the schedule of the show. This is not going to be a regular, weekly, regimented type podcast. My reading is going to dictate this. The reason for that mainly is because the problem I've had trying to do book type stuff in the past in podcast form is the regimented schedule of the podcast starts to affect my reading. I find myself jumping to read shorter books instead of longer books because I need to get another episode out, or rushing myself through a book, speeding up to like 2.5 because I got to get this book done for the next episode, and that's not what I want. So the reading will dictate the schedule. And I'm going to mitigate some of that by letting books pile up a little bit. You know, for example, I want to do episodes on the last 5 books I've read already. So that's 5 books. So I can allow that to give me a little bit of a buffer. And by being behind a little bit and going back to a book, I kind of forget them a little bit and have to return to them. And I think that's more interesting than jumping back in while it's still fresh in my mind. It's really going to be about what stuck. Okay, lastly, let's talk about the production of the show. As you can probably hear, I have a nice microphone. Bought this many years ago. This is the same microphone that Joe Rogan uses, same microphone that Michael Jackson recorded his whole Thriller album with. It's a great microphone. And I do process the audio to clean it up, to get rid of background noises as best I can. But other than that, I don't intend to do extensive cuts, or I don't do multiple takes. I don't script things. I have an outline today. I imagine sometimes I'll come in with some sort of outline so I don't get lost in my rambling. But generally what happens, happens. I don't know if you can hear my chair squeaking right now. You might be able to hear that. You've probably heard multiple times in this episode where I pause to take a sip of water or a sip of tea. I'm going to do it right now. Those will stay in. And in addition, if I need to pause and I need to think, I am going to pause and think. And you're going to hear me pause and think. So that's everything that I'm thinking about. Once again, I was hoping, as every alarm on my phone goes off right now, even though it's on do not disturb mode. What is the point of do not disturb mode? As I was saying, the intention with this episode was to only do 15 minutes. I'm at almost 30. So I'm going to end this by reading you something that I think really captures a lot of what I have in mind with this show. It's only one paragraph, and it is from a book called How Fiction Works by a guy named James Wood. That's W-O-O-D, not James Woods, W-O-O-D-S. James Wood is a literary critic from Britain. James Woods is an actor and some sort of political blah, 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 blah. I don't know. This is from that book. This is from the section right after the introduction, a section called A Note on Footnotes and Dates. He says, as a teenager, I was very taken by the rather fancy note to Ford Madox Ford's The English Novel. Quote, this book was written in New York, on board the SS Patria, and in the port and neighborhood of Marseilles during July and August 1927. I cannot claim any proximate glamour nor a similar feat of libraryless memory, but in the spirit of Ford, I can say that I have used only the books I actually own, books at hand in my study to produce this little volume. I can also add that except for a paragraph here or there, none of it is previously published. The reason that stands out to me, both the story he tells about Ford Madox Ford writing a book from memory and having no library with him, and the idea of him only using the books that are available to him in his library. That is what I intend to do when I talk about books. Just talk about the stuff that's in my head and from that book. I'm not going to do extensive research. You're not going to get backstories of authors and all of that. It's just me and a book and you. So I hope you are interested in this little experiment. Wish me luck. Wish me luck.